Morning. I wonder if you've ever been on one of those epic holidays where you get a map like this, a road map. Remember those? Maybe you still like using road maps. This is our epic road map to France, which I don't particularly like because I think my brain doesn't really kind of work like that with maps. You kind of get to page 131 and it says, if you want to go north, you turn to page 115. You know, that's kind of illogical to me. But a map is something that we use to find direction, isn't it? And we use a map because we're going to be the ones that can work out where we're going. And if you're a good map reader, it's down to you whether you've found the right route or not. And of course, arguments never happen in the car, do they? Using a map, they never happen at all. But what you might be more familiar with is using a sat-nav, like the one behind me here, or you might be used to using a phone, a smartphone, where you've got Google Maps and you can find directions on there. Now, I love Google Maps. Put your hands up if you like Google Maps. I love Google Maps because it's so good. I love Google Maps because I'm so rubbish at reading maps, and it provides the direction and the way for me to go. But the problem with Google Maps is it's really good and it provides me with direction. It's great at telling me where to go and we can follow that map. But there are times when using sat navs or Google Maps where it doesn't go right. Am I right? Anybody put your hand up if you've been sent down the wrong road? Yes, good. Friday night, Colin says. Why does that surprise me? So, sometimes it just doesn't go right when we're looking for direction, like this situation here. This poor lorry driver was clearly taken down the wrong road, taken in a way that he didn't anticipate in some lovely village, probably somewhere in England. And so people were getting so frustrated with people using sat navs in one particular village that they decided to put up something to help people using sat navs. Like this sign here, no through road, sat nav users, take the next left. That's nice, isn't it, for these people to provide direction for those who are looking for direction to be provided for them. And as we see by the walls, and that's a great job that Margaret and the team have done here, that we are in this series looking at guidance. And we all need guidance, don't we? We all need guidance. Those big questions in life, those little questions in life. If we don't need guidance, then we're probably incredibly arrogant and we think that we know it all and we don't need anyone telling us anything. But we all need guidance. We all need direction. So what does God's word have to say about guidance? Well, we're going to be looking at Psalm 23 in just a minute or two, and we're going to be looking at the context of Psalm 23. And I thought that what we would do is we're going to watch a short video, which I find really helpful for setting up the context of Psalm 23. So if we just watch this short video, and then we'll delve into the psalm itself. So that helps us understand the context of Psalm 23. And one of the reasons that I showed that video is because it's such a familiar psalm, isn't it? Many of us know Psalm 23, whether we've been at church a lot or not. The Lord's Prayer is such a familiar passage to people. Psalm 23 is such a familiar passage to people. And sometimes when we think of Psalm 23, I think we have this image of kind of the border collie and the shepherd kind of rounding up the sheep with the border collie. And that's where it's important to understand the context of Scripture, because as we look at Psalm 23 now, we will see that original Middle Eastern context of what it looked for shepherding then, going around in amongst the rocks, wondering where on earth is the grass. And I don't know about you, but did you watch that video thinking, where on earth is the grass? I was watching that thinking, where's the grass? Is he going to turn a corner or something? Let's turn to Psalm 23. And what I want us to remember today, this is our key theme, is that God provides for us. God provides for us. And we're going to see that in different ways as we go through the psalm. God provides for us. Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First thing that David tells us is that the Lord is my shepherd. David has been a shepherd. Like Moses and Abraham before him, they were familiar with shepherding. Shepherding in that video context that we saw there, not always easy. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. That is so important. Because having a relationship with God is a relationship. And so much of these first few verses, we see my, I, me, my, me, through those verses. That David personalizes this faith and that relationship that he has with God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Why is that so important? That God provides for us as a shepherd. Because if you're a sheep, you need the shepherd. If you're a sheep, you need to know where the shepherd is. You need to know that the shepherd is there and he's present and he's leading you, because you're not going to go through those rocky paths and say, well, I'll just find myself some grass today. I'm a sheep. You need the shepherd to provide for you, to lead you. And so in a similar way, God is our shepherd. He is our satisfaction. He is all we need. He says, I shall not want. How many times do we particularly hear children, maybe under 10 or 11, 12, maybe even older, say, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. As humans, we want things. But as adults, we kind of dress it up a little bit nicer. I want. We have a desire. But David had a desire. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd was the satisfaction for him in his life and what he was looking for. I shall not want, because if we have the shepherd, we have the one who provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. So it's the shepherd who leads the sheep. Now you're like, duh, that sounds really obvious. Yeah, the shepherd leads the sheep. But how often is it in our lives that we act as if it's us leading God? I want this, I want that, I want it to happen by next week, I want it to happen in a year, I want that to happen, I want that to happen, here's my game plan. And by the way, could you just bless it? You see, it's incredibly profound. And it's something in the holidays that God was speaking to me about, and interestingly in some of the vision team, is that we need to get it right, that it's God who leads us, not us who leads God. That we are the ones who follow. And when it's the other way round, we have pride in our life, and pride is sin. And we can dress that up in all kinds of fancy words and say it's not. That I am strategically determined, or I have a game plan, or whatever it is. But we are the ones who follow him. And as a church, we are the people, his sheep, who are following the shepherd, not the other way around. And isn't that a great comfort? Isn't that a great comfort that we can say that he is our shepherd, that we shall not want? He leads us, he leads us, he leads us. And he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. So that as those sheep were looking for the shepherd, and as they were going through those rocky paths, as we go through rocky paths or all kinds of different circumstances, he leads us and he's concerned for us and he wants to refresh us and restore us. He wants us to know his presence, to follow after him, the one who restores our soul, the one who leads us in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Why do we follow him? Why do we seek to do the will of God? Why do we seek to mature and grow in our faith? It's for his name's sake. It's for his glory. It's so that people will see us and say that these people are different because they love Jesus. And it's for his glory and for his fame. It's not for my glory and my fame or your glory or your fame. It's for his. It's for his name's sake that we are known by the shepherd and we are loved by the shepherd. God provides for us. And as we've come here today, whether we say that we're following Jesus or not, whatever it is that we're searching for and seeking, whether it's to know Christ for a first time or we're looking for more satisfaction, we're a Christian, we're unsettled, whatever it is, God provides for us. He is enough. He really is enough. But secondly, God provides for us as the comforter. God provides for us as comforter. Verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you look in the NIV, it doesn't say shadow of death. It says this in the ESV. So I'm using the ESV today because I think this brings out the gravity of what the psalmist is talking about. David himself went through difficult times in his life, and we see him pursued by his enemies. It's not literally that he had a bit of a bad day in the office at times. It wasn't that he just had a slightly annoying headache during his life. He was pursued by an enemy, Saul, and he was hiding in caves, threatened to be murdered in his life. He had a pretty scary life at times. He knew what it was like to have that shadow of death over him, to have that potential fear in his life. And he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And why could David say that so much? It's because he knew who his provider was. He knew who his source was. He knew that the great shepherd watched over him as he watches over us if we trust in him. But the reality is that we face difficult valleys in our life. Maybe some of us today are in a difficult valley. Maybe it's ill health or the loss of a job or the lack of a job. Maybe it's relationship problems. We maybe are in a valley right now where there are many things that bother us. Maybe it's just not knowing what the future holds. Because as humans, we like to know what the future holds. We like to be in control. But there is a reality to facing death, to facing hardships, and we can choose to respond in different ways to this. The reality is that 10 out of 10 of us are born and 10 out of 10 of us will die. It's a reality of life, isn't it? But how do we face that reality? How do we face the reality of death that will come one day? As I was looking up Psalm 23 on the internet, and I was researching some things, I came across a really interesting story of a very ordinary person, a mother who, the couple of children who are now grown up, a lady called Rachel. And she's somebody who developed leukemia a few years ago. And she has a blog. And I just came across her blog. And I thought, wow, isn't it amazing that this lady's story spoke to me and hopefully will speak to us as she wrote her blog as a Christian, somebody facing a hard time, having leukemia and facing possible death. And she writes on her blog, one of the songs that we sang, talking about going to church, was a modern version of the 23rd Psalm. It's a great piece of scripture, which is sometimes so familiar that we miss its richness, which is what I was saying just a moment ago. We really are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But we have no need to fear any evil because God is with us. We are protected by the good shepherd's rod and staff. With those two instruments, he can hold at bay anything which might harm us. He can catch us when we stray from the safety of the path. Your prayers and the good shepherd himself have given us faith and courage. And when I read that, I thought, wow, that's incredible. Because that's the reality of a woman who has leukemia, who's facing death, who knows who her good shepherd is. This is not just kind of debating in a university the existence of God or not. This is not somebody saying, well, you know, I feel good about my faith or not. This is not somebody just quoting Bible verses for the sake of quoting Bible verses, but somebody who feels the reality and the shadow of death that is over her, and yet can cling to Psalm 23 and the truthfulness and the faithfulness and the beautifulness and the loveliness of God in the midst of that, who is the kind, loving, gentle, peaceful shepherd who takes us in his arms and takes this woman in her arms. And one of the reasons that I found this blog was because I was a little bit confused about the staff and the rod. And I think she explains it beautifully, that we're protected by the good shepherd's rod and staff. And with these instruments, he can hold at bay anything which might harm us, and he can catch us when we stray off. So as we see in this picture, the rod is the one that defends against the oncoming enemies. The rod will keep away and prod away things that might attack the sheep, or sometimes discipline the sheep when they've maybe stepped out of line. And the staff is the one that gently brings the sheep back onto path. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the shepherd is a shepherd who cares for us and guides us in a way that he wants the best for us, which means that sometimes we might walk through difficult valleys and we learn and we grow through that. That our faith is not just some theory, but it's a reality that in its darkest day faces death itself with a hope, knowing that the shepherd is there to be our comforter, that you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Who doesn't desire comfort? From the youngest of ages, a baby, and Natalie and David, and the baby will realize this today, Penelope, that who are here with us. Why don't we give them a round of applause? From the earliest of age, the vulnerability of a baby needs the comfort of parents, and we need the comfort of a loving God, a loving and kind God who wants the best for us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that whatever we want, we will get. Because he wants the best for us. And sometimes that means walking through rocky, tough valleys. But moment by moment, he provides that tuft of grass that we need. Moment by moment, as we look to him, he provides. But he wants us to look to him rather than the other way around. And God provides for us through communion. I'll explain what I mean a little bit more about that. So verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And the picture that I've got there is a banqueting table that you might find at a wedding. God prepares a table for us is the image of a banquet and a feast. And in the Middle Eastern culture, it was so important and prevalent eating together. So we recognize that, don't we, when we were going through Luke, when Jesus would welcome sinners, the Pharisees were outraged because he was welcoming the sinners to come and sit at his table. And so to welcome somebody to the table means that you accept them, that you love them, that actually there is an acceptance of the person, that there is forgiveness that is extended to that person. And this is what is happening. It's not a case of let's just go grab a McDonald's and we don't have to sit face to face. We don't have to talk to one another. We don't have to spend time to one another. A banquet would go on for days and days. And people in that culture would accept people and welcome people. And that would be a sign of status that the person would have by being at that table, by being in the presence of the host. And so God, the Lord Shepherd, is our host who welcomes us to the table, who offers us forgiveness, who offers us the hand and the welcome of his grace to come and to dine with him and to be with him and to spend time with him. And he wants us today, if we don't know Jesus as our Savior, to come and to dine with him, to enjoy him, to spend time with him. Question, who are you dining with? Are you dining with Jesus? Are you enjoying dining in the presence of Jesus? Because he welcomes us. He welcomes us to come, follow me, to come dine with me, to spend that time with him, to know his welcome, to know his presence, to know his joy, to know his goodness. He is good and he is kind and he welcomes us and he wants us to dwell in his presence, to enjoy him, to know that we're forgiven, to know that we can be forgiven. He anoints our head with oil and our cup overflows. My cup overflows. God's grace towards us is not just like a puny, ugly, rusty little tap that has a drip barely coming out of it, an annoying, dripping tap. But it's like a Niagara Falls that just, he just throws his love all over us. He wants us to know his never-ending, unconditional love and grace. He's so good and he's so kind that he wants us to dine with him. He wants us to commune with him, to spend time with him. Are we spending time with him? Do you want to dine with him? He welcomes you to the table. He welcomes you. He forgives you. He welcomes you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this isn't just about dwelling in the church building, being in the house of the Lord forever. But it's about us having a desire to be in the presence of God, to dwell in him, and to know him, not just for a fleeting moment, but forever. And I think a lot of that has got to do with our heart, you know, a heart desire. Do we desire after God or not? Do we desire to follow him in all that we do, in all that we are? Are we desiring to commune with him? Because God provides for us. God provides for us. And God provides for us, most importantly, in the person of Jesus. Jesus himself said in John 10:10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How do we best know true provision? How do we best know what true joy is? How do we know what true love is? How do we know what true peace is? How do we know what true life is? We know it through the one who is the good shepherd, and his name is Jesus. We know it through Jesus, who came, who lived amongst us, who healed the sick, the lost, the broken, who spent time with those who were on the fringes that nobody else wanted to know, who died on a cross that we might be forgiven. He is the one who brings about true reconciliation. He is the one who brings about true peace. And he is the one whom we have been desiring after if we don't know Jesus, the one who will fill that gap in our life and our heart that we're struggling to fill ourselves with all kinds of things, whether it's drink or drugs or success or money or ambition. He is the one. He is the one who brings true satisfaction. He is Jesus who brings hope in the face of death. He is Jesus who takes away the sting of death. He is Jesus who brings life into our very being through the Holy Spirit, that we might have life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He is so good and so kind that he was willing to not only provide for us in our own being, that we've been made and created in his image, but to die on a cross that we might be forgiven. We are sinful people. We are sheep that go our own way. We are sinful people who look to do our own thing. And we are in need of a Savior. We are in need of a shepherd who will lead us and who will guide us. And he's Jesus. He is Jesus. And he wants us to know him today if we don't already know him. And he wants us to desire to commune with him if we do already know him. He wants us to be in his presence. So what's our response? Well, maybe this week, whenever we flick on the sat-nav or the Google Maps, maybe this week as we're driving in the car and we're trying to find our way to a meeting or find our way to a party, whatever it is, whether we're in the car or we're walking, as we look at that sat-nav or if we pick up a map because we're old school, remember that it's God who provides for us. It's God who truly provides for us and gives us direction. Maybe it is today that we're walking through a valley. Maybe through illness, we're facing all kinds of hardship, and we need to look to the shepherd as the one who cares for us, just to be reminded that he loves us. He's not asking us to do anything, not asking us to do five things that we might find his grace. He's just saying, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for you. Come be in my presence. I provide for you. Maybe it is today that we need to respond specifically to him. Maybe we've been coming to this church for a while, or maybe for the first time, and we don't yet know who Jesus is. But we'd like to. You'd like to know who Jesus is. You'd like to know what it is to have your sins forgiven, to be in a right relationship with God. Why don't you take the time to fill in one of these cards? There's some at the back on your way out. You can put them in the box. You can either speak to myself or Colin afterwards, but maybe you want to fill one of those in, or maybe you'd like to email one of us and say, look, I'd like to find out more about how I know this good shepherd. This sounds too good to walk away from here to not respond to this good shepherd. And maybe it is this week that we have just simply been reminded of just how good God's grace is. And we just dwell in that, and we just say amen to that. And we just say, I love that. I love the good shepherd. I love how he provides for me. I want to just walk in the light of that this week. Walk in the truth of the fact that he loves me, that he is the good shepherd. And would you rekindle, Lord, that love for you in the way that you love me? May I love you. Let's just be still for a minute. And as we bow our heads, let's just ask the Holy Spirit just for a minute or so. Just praying that the Holy Spirit would just speak to us. What one thing is the Lord saying to us? What one thing from what we've heard is God saying to us today? Now just imagine in responding in that way that as we go to work this week, if we're in the workplace, imagine what it would look like to live as if Christ is the Good Shepherd and he is leading us. He's leading you into those meetings. He's leading you into those difficult conversations with staff or difficult conversations with people or good conversations that are planned. He's leading you and he's wanting to be involved in your diary this week. Imagine what it looks like for you at school or college or university to follow the Good Shepherd and not follow others. To be distinct in your walk because you know that you're loved by him. You know that the Good Shepherd, his grace is enough for you. Imagine what it looks like for you this week in the home as you face difficulties maybe with children or difficulties with friends or further other relatives. To know that he is the Good Shepherd and that you shall not want. That his grace looks like Christ. Imagine what it looks like in those conversations in the home this week to follow the Good Shepherd. Let's pray and then the band will come up. Father God, we are so aware that you, through Jesus, love us so much that you are the Good Shepherd and that your grace and your love and your mercy overflow to us. May we respond in love to you today. And I pray that actually as we go from here, that we will see comments this week about having spent time with you. That there will be a distinctiveness about your love in us demonstrated to those who look on. And that we will live out the gospel. We thank you that your grace is enough. We thank you that you are our Good Shepherd who laid down your life for us. May we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.